You might like to turn in your Bible as we open our Sunday school time to the book of Hebrews. And in our exercise of the book of Hebrews and God helping us understand by way of Hebrews his wonderful saving grace, Christ died on the cross, that's awesome. But then, what did that provide? What did that make possible? How did it make it? How did it become possible? And that's where the book of Hebrews comes in. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and the key as you're going through, is like in verse 4, by faith, or slash, because of faith. Faith is the issue. Exercise. You can't honor God without faith. Therefore, and remember we share together in chapter 11, verse 1, the definition. Faith is the substance. Substance is the word under and support. To support under, to strengthen, to be a foundation. Foundation for something to sit on. Faith is the substance of things are hoped for, the evidence, the proof of things not seen. Faith is, everyone has faith, everyone believes. That's what we're doing every day. We believe things, we have faith in things, and we do them, as we shared 100 times. You eat food by faith, whatever you do. That's what you do. And so faith comes, if you're going to go and look to God without faith, verse 6, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. God must be. So therefore, faith is the substance, the foundation. It's the evidence, the proof of something. Now, when it comes to the proof of your car, you stick the keys in the ignition because they're your keys. You believe that's your car, and you believe and hope by faith that it will start when you turn the keys. So when it comes to God, you're going to have to use your faith in God. God is he that he is. So when we come to God, we're looking to God to be God. And remember in verse 3 what we did, how can you understand anything about anything in all of creation, the birds, the bugs, the flowers, the planets, how can you understand them without God? Evolution, we got all the different things, or I don't know, we just do it. We just live in these bodies, don't we? We just live in these bodies. The marvelousness of the 12 systems functioning, doing awesome things, thousands of miles an hour. Everything's going on. Opening, closing, filtering, changing, chemically, electrically. Everything's electrical. Everything's all going at once. All we do is say, oh yeah, do we understand it? No. All we can do, we just enjoy it. When it comes to life, we just try to enjoy, exercise life, being here. We exercise the food, we exercise the weather, we exercise what we do. God said, you won't understand it. He's the creator, Hebrews 11:3. And without God, you don't have anything. And without faith, God created everything out of nothing. Now, how are you going to get? See, we can take it for granted. But when it comes to God, when it comes to God and look to God, I have to understand that who can make these flowers? Who can design this body? Who can do this? God does. How am I going to honor God who I can't see? I'm always in his presence by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to understand that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing without faith. Because God has nothing and he creates it. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And therefore, you would know, putting that together, I don't want to jump ahead, over to James. Then in chapter 2, James in chapter 2, would you note, please, it's all about verse 14, 2, 14, James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Just faith. Sitting here's a faith. You can't see faith. Here's my faith. You can't see it. I only can show faith. I can only show it. I can't manufacture it. I can't produce it. I can only show believing. You believe the pew. You can only show it. Without something, you have no way to show it. Without something, faith has to support something. It supports the key, the car. It supports the food. Faith has to have something. Otherwise, you don't. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So in James, that's what James document. Faith without works, well, sliding down, you know, without doing all of that, otherwise, sliding down down to verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Is dead. What did Abraham do? He believed God. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence, the proof. Faith proves something. It proves it. It supports the unseen, God. My faith in God. Now you can't see God, but my faith is evidencing by works that I believe God. I'm trusting God's presence, literally, so are you. We're trusting God's wonderful person and presence. That's what we're doing, by faith. As we do that, exercise that. Now, having said that, by works. So Abraham, I'm doing it while you're here, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Think of what we did last time. Verse 22. See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. It illustrated it. It was the evidence that he believed God. What was the evidence? He went to sacrifice his son. That's a literal thing. You can see it. You can see it. Now, go and verse 23, where you're there. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed. Remember the word believe and faith are in the same box. They're connected together. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him. Remember we had a little card, faith, F on one side and R on the other. So you remember that? Our faith goes with God, and God, when we look at it, God makes it righteous. Our faith is counted, imputed to us for righteousness. Now, and in verse 23, Abraham believed God and was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, having said that, back over to Hebrews. And what do we have now? Looking at Hebrews and chapter 11, just start it. We're going to go right into where we're going, maybe. Verse 4, what did Abel do? Abel believed God by faith. Because of faith, Abel, what did Abel do? He sacrificed like his like a sacrifice offering, understanding Christ would die on the cross. Had Christ died on the cross? No. But Abel believed it. He evidenced Christ would die on the cross by his sacrifices. You could see, he believed, see his sacrifice. What's the sacrifice point to? Faith says God is going to die on the cross. That's God's son. God's telling you how to honor him without faith. So here's Abel. And then we come to Enoch in verse 5. What did Enoch do? Enoch pleased God. That's what he did. He walked with God and God was pleased. Here's Abraham's walking around, pleasing God like our Lord. Like our Lord did. And here comes Abraham, and Enoch, I should say. And Enoch pleased God. That's by faith. How did he please God? He honored the presence of God and walked with God like Noah. Now, sliding down, and here's Noah. What did Noah do? Noah believed God and built an ark. And there's no rain, never any rain. Never any. It's impossible. And then to build a battleship, like the ark would have been, and to build that's silly. He believed God. He believed God's judgment, the flood. He believed it. He didn't understand it, but he believed. And God said to believe, and that's what he did. He went and built the ark, 120 years. Went and built the ark. And then you slide down to Abraham. And Abraham did what? Abraham didn't know where he was going. He lived in Ur of Chaldees. He lived in Babylon. He lived in that unsaved world of all of that. But he lived in it. And God told him to get out of that area. And he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. He just went. And he went. And then he went again and went again. And we did all that. And ended up down in Palestine in the land. And in the land, he still never, he lived as we shared together and we did all that. He lived in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob. They all lived in tents. They were pilgrims. They didn't know where, they were looking for a city. Remember, look in Hebrews 11, verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for something. He was looking for something in the future. And how did, God's going to have something. God's going to have something. My faith, I'm supporting it. I am evidencing. I am proof that God's going to have it. I'm going to show it. I'm trusting God to do, and that's how I live, as a pilgrim, as a stranger, going down the corridor of time. That's how I live, by faith. That's how I live, and trusting God. So, having said that little bit, now back over to where we were almost. Chapter 11, picking up in Abraham. And you remember now, God is illustrating faith. I hope you just get a little sense of that. God's going to take in all different little ways to tell you this. You believe God in some fashion, and you evidence it so people can know that you believe something about God that he's going to do that he hasn't done, and you believe it. You just believe it by faith. They say, how do you know that? By faith. I look to God. He said it, I believe it. Now, so Hebrews 11 and verse 16 quickly. Verse 16. And now, this is the, remember, strangers and pilgrims, the end of verse 13, down verse 16. Now they desire a better country that is and heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to call them to be called their God. God, and the only God there is. For he hath prepared, why does he not ashamed? He's already prepared for them, in verse 16, he's already prepared for them a city. So what did Abraham know when he went nowhere? All he knows is whatever God has in mind, it's in God. It isn't in the system out here. It isn't in the world system. It's something God has. God already had a wonderful plan, and Abraham pursued it. Enoch pursued it. They all pursued the plan. We can't say, no, God has a wonderful plan. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, by faith, verse 17, when he was tried, this is Abraham going a step further. Now remember, we shared together, Abraham is the father of the faith. In other words, God uses Abraham, Galatians 3, etc., etc., Romans 4. God uses Abraham for what? The example. You want to know what pleases God, you have to do it by faith. You have to do it. You have to believe God is God, and you believe and trust him by faith. Now, as you're believing God and trusting God by faith, you're going to proceed down the corridor of time. And Abraham, went how far? He went far. He didn't know whether he was going. And he went there, and he trusted God. He trusted God again. And then he waited until he was 100 years old. And he had Isaac, and 100 years old, and impossible. So if Abraham looked at his body and looked at his wife, 90, it's impossible. But 25 years ago, God told us we're going to have an Isaac, not an Ishmael, none of that. No, God's going to have the seed, the right person to represent God's flow all the way to Mary in Bethlehem to be born, Jesus born in the line of David all the way. So here's God's wonderful work. Why did you pick Abraham? There's Job, there's all kinds of people. Why does he pick Abraham? Because Abraham is the example, and God has raised him up to show it. And so what did Abraham do? He took his son, Isaac. Isaac was born at 100 years old. Back to looking at the body. He looked at his body at 100, and he's not too enthused about having a child and having to get up at night, take care of him. He isn't too enthused. No, he isn't. It's impossible. Ah! But he believed God. And lo and behold, Isaac. And then Isaac, as you know, as you keep reading in Hebrews 11, Isaac, he offered Isaac. Isaac is the child of promise. All the other children are there. They're wonderful. But only Isaac is the key. So Isaac is going down, is picked, and Isaac grows up as a young man. He's a young man, not necessarily in 20s, but in probably late teens or somewhere. And in the process, Isaac is going to go, and Abraham tells him to go to Mount Moriah. Let me read it in case. Hebrews 11 and offer thine only begotten son, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So of all the other children, only Isaac is going to produce the David, is going to produce Mary in Bethlehem, only Isaac. So if we lose Isaac, we have no more. We lost the channel. We lost the car we're driving in, and we don't have it anymore. Isaac is missing. Isaac can't be missing. Test. God has told Abraham to come to Mount Moriah, which is Golgotha. We shared that last time. Northern part of Golgotha, the mountain, Moriah. And he took him right where Christ is going to be crucified. And he took him there. And he took him, and he was going to offer Isaac. And remember, he took the wood and everything, did everything, and the ram and all. We did that last time. And all of it's there. And he offered Isaac. He offered Isaac with the understanding in his mind that even though he killed Isaac and burned him, I said, dude, burn him. Kill and burn. Isaac and I are still going to walk down this mountain just like we walked up. Now, I got to tell you, that's believing God. I'm going to cut them and burn them. I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to walk down that hill with that man I just burned. What do you mean? I'm going to take that which I waited to be 100 years old to have happen. Isaac was born. And I'm going to take the prized, privileged son that God gave. God gave it specifically. I'm going to take that which God gave and sacrifice it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to sacrifice that which he gave. And he does. And of course, remember, we shared all that in Genesis 22, the little lamb and the ram, etc. And Isaac, and he walked back down the mountain. And what do we say? Abraham took the sin offering, Isaac, and offered it to God. And the offering was given back to the offerer, Abraham. Isaac was given, and Isaac was taken back by Abraham. What did he do? Look at it, chapter 11 and verse 20. Oh, no, verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure, a comparison. A comparison of what? God is going to send his son, and he's going to send his son and crucify him. He's going to crucify his, Abraham took his only son like that. God took his only son and crucified him. And he was crucified and buried and risen again and given back to God. Just like Isaac would have been crucified and given back to Abraham. God crucified his son and gave him back. The end of verse 20, it's a comparison. Abraham illustrated what God would do on Calvary's cross. That's awesome. But he believed God, and therefore he's the father of telling us what do we have to do to please God? Believe God. Have faith in God. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, sliding down, if I can, to verse 20. And in verse 20, God continues. Now, what do we know about Isaac? We know Isaac believed God. Isaac was blessed by Abraham. And Isaac is the one that was laid in the altar, laid in the top of the wood with a knife coming down. And Isaac never said, boo. He never said, why is this dead? Or, like I said, I'll bet Isaac could have outrun his father and beat him, so Abraham couldn't catch him. And Abraham and Isaac would be spared. He didn't do that. Isaac submitted humbly, carefully, quietly to God's will. He laid on the altar. Here comes the knife up. And he laid there. Isaac believed God, and he was going to come back down. Isaac then, the next person in Hebrews 11, by faith, because of faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So here's Isaac comes along, and Isaac is going to go in his most wonderful way. Because of faith, he's going to believe God. And in the process of believing God, and the will of God is going to be outworked in a most wonderful way of things concerning the future. Isaac is going to believe the future is going to be what it is. And he believed God. How do you know that God said it's going to happen? And Isaac, faith, believed God, have faith in God, and demonstrated that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And the word Isaac, remember, is the word laughter. Laughter. And you remember now, and interestingly enough, his laughter. And Abraham laughed when God told them he was going to have a child. And Sarah laughed in unbelief. And then Sarah's going to laugh two more times. Going to laugh two more times. She said, I wouldn't believe it. She thought it was so. She laughed out loud that God had really given her Isaac. His name is Laughter. Isaac, Laughter. Laughter is used four times in the father and his father and mother. They laughed, and they called him Laughter. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's the statement made. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, having said that, and it may just be of help because we don't frequently always remind ourselves of all of this, history a little bit. Go with me, please, over to Genesis chapter 25. We're looking at Isaac, Genesis 25. And in Genesis 25, picking up the thought, if I can, 25, and in verse 24, we'll get the thought. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So that's, and keep going. Verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, when he bare them. Now remember, we did all that the other day. Now, so the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So Isaac, they're all looking in tents always as they journey through time. And therefore, so in the process now, in that God's going to help us to get the background. Verse 29, Jacob sought pottage. In other words, he was hungry. And Esau, Esau made a wonderful stew or a good cream of wheat or something, and he had his, there it is, and he had it. And here's, Esau comes in, he's hungry. And verse 29, and sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. And therefore was his name called Edom. Esau, Edom. You'll pick that up in a bit here. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Jacob's the younger, and he's the firstborn. Esau's firstborn. What's firstborn in Hebrew, in the Israeli Hebrew thinking? Firstborn means of the family. You, when the father dies, of all the different family, the oldest, the firstborn, is the one who takes over the father's position. He takes over the father's position. That's his assignment. He gets double portion of everything. He's top. Got to keep that in mind. So Esau happens to be the firstborn. So therefore, verse 31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Jacob knows that his brother's going to have the benefit and he'll have to serve his brother. But Jacob's a rascal. He's a rascal kind of guy. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and he really wasn't, I'm sure. What profit shall this birthright do to me. In other words, what's the sense of having all this stuff in writing, the contracts and everything? Who cares? I'm hungry. Live now. That's why we like McDonald's. It's fast. Don't have to worry about everything. Fast food. Now, so therefore, verse 33. Verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold him his birthright unto Jacob for a bowl of cream of wheat. Okay? That's what he sold. That's how much he valued being in by faith, looking to God. He didn't value it. People don't value the Bible in your hands, do they? They don't value that. They don't even need one. They never open one. They don't need a Bible. They don't value it. Esau didn't value his birthright. He didn't value it. Now, so therefore, 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, having despised his birthright, if we can, over again, chapter 25, in the light of that, verse 29. Yeah. Now, over again, please, to chapter 27. And in chapter 27, remember now, and by the way, when jumping ahead, but you're not seeing it, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 20, 21, 22, you're talking about three different men, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all three illustrations are of them when they're dying. Each one is illustrated at the time of death. That's important. Now, hang on. Now, sliding over at chapter 27, and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. And he called Esau, his eldest, because he's the eldest son, and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old and know not the day of my death. I could die at any moment. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow and go out to the field and take me some venison. In other words, go shoot a deer. Go get the deer. And to make me a savory, one of my favorite foods, savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me. That, I want you to do this, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. I want to give thee the blessing to carry on the family line. I'm going to give you the blessing to Esau. Now, Rebecca, always listening in, you know, ear at the door, what are they talking about? What are they talking about in there? And I said, whoa, she heard that conversation. And she said, I know what Jacob's going to do. He's going to die and bless Esau for the birthright. And it's done, once it's done. She said, it can't happen. So therefore, Rebekah heard when Esau spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it in. So he had to go hunting. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now I'm giving you, reading it because it's interesting. You got to see how people work. And God, us humans are something else. But God, in spite of us humans, God does what he does in spite of us. Now keep in mind. So therefore, bring me venison. Now, Verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So his mother said to him, go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats. Why you need two, I don't know. And I will make them savory. I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Now he apparently loves venison, but he must love the goats too. But Rebecca has to go and somehow make the venison like the goat to eat. And hang on, that's what he has to do. And apparently it can be, I know how to cook, so I don't know. Now, so therefore, verse 9, go now to the flock and get me the kids, etc. Two goats. Verse 10, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, to his mother, you know, Mom, that isn't the right thing to do. That's not the right thing to do. Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. So he's very hairy. And remember, we read that in his birth. He was born very hairy and a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Be unto me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. The trouble is, you obey somebody else. That's the thing. What? That's the silly thing. Oh, here's Johnny Jones. Johnny Jones, I want you to do something. I want you to go in and rob that bank, and bring that money out to me. Bring that money out to me. He says, it's not good to rob a bank. It's all right. I'll take the brunt of it. Okay. And you go in, and he comes out. And the police come to arrest you with your bag of money, and you say, no, he told me to do it. And the police said, oh, and then he says, well, you go home, where is he? See, and he says, I don't have any money. See, it doesn't pay. You're a sex accessory. Now, so here's Esau, here's Jacob with Esau, and here he is now, and picking it up, please, quickly. In verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought him to his mother, and his mother made savory meat for his father. And Rebekah took goodly garment. She's very sharp, because she knows they're going to try to trick Jacob, and took raiment of his eldest son. So she found one of his, went to his clothes closet, and got a nice garment that would fit, put the clothes garment on him so that it'd be all, you know, whatever it was, smelly, everything from a field. And he did that. And which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob and her youngest son. And she put the skins of the, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands. So she's going to cover his hands. So hands are smooth. He's going to cover hairy hands, hairy hands, upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck, because he has his shirt, and she knows what Jacob will do. And so she has to protect this bare spot and puts a piece of hair up here so that you're going to feel the same hair up here. And now, so in the process, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared under the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, Father, he said unto him, here am I. And he said, who art thou, my son? Because he can't see. And Jacob said unto him, unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Now remember now, each person would have a different voice. So you got to remember that. So here's Jacob, seriously, he's going to die. He's really thinking about things. So in the process, he says, who are you? Who are you? Because he knew Jacob went out. Now, having said that, and verse 17. And she gave the smooth meat, and she gave the savory meat and the bread, which she had prepared in the hands of her son Jacob. And he came, in verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn, and I have done according as thou hast badest me. I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless thee. Now, he doesn't have venison, but he's going to use venison, because that's what Jacob asked for, venison. You know, so now, verse 20. And Jacob said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quick? In other words, what if the deer come up to the door and you shot him? Wow, that's awful quick. My son, now Jacob isn't stupid, so a little stupid. Now, hang on. I found it quickly. My soul, verse 20, and he said, because thy Lord sent, God brought it to me. God did. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee. In other words, he knows there's a difference between the smooth and the hairy, and whether thou be thy very son Isaac or not. And Jacob went near unto him, Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. It's Jacob I'm talking to, but I feel Esau. I'm going to go by my feelings. I'm going to go because I'm losing it. So I'm going to go, and even though I know it's Jacob, I'm going to go, and I know it isn't Esau, I know it's Jacob. Therefore, keep going. Verse 23, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, thou art my very son Esau. And he said, I am. And he saith, bring it near to me, and I will eat of thy son's venison. Eat my son's venison, and my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him. He did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said, come near now, kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, verse 28, God give thee of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, plenty, corn, etc. I'll read verse 29, I guess. And the people serve thee, people serve thee, nations shall bow down to thee. Remember, he's the head. Bow down to thee over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone. In other words, Jacob just got out of the door, quick as he could, out of that situation. And he just scarce gone, verse 30, out from the presence of Isaac, his father. That you just knew it was going to happen. Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He came in. He came in with a piece of venison, all ready to go. You know it's going to happen. And he also had made savory meat and brought it into his father and said unto his father, let my father rise and eat, and thy son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now you can just imagine if you were Isaac, Jacob sitting there, and you just went through this. You can just imagine from a human standpoint. 32, and Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Isaac. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest. In other words, I went through everything with Jacob and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. That's the point. He can't unbless him. He can't unbless him. God was in it. Keep, hang on. God was in it. God was outworking his wonderful will in a most wonderful way. And it isn't Esau. Esau doesn't care about God. But Jacob, that rascal, does. And therefore, when there's others coming up, you see them. Mistakes look like the mistakes. They aren't mistakes. God providentially did what he did and allowed what he did in a most awesome way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Malachi. You don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose the rest of this. In chapter 27, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety, that's Jacob's supplanter, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted, that's Jacob's name, supplanter, deceiver. That's Jacob's name. He's a deceiver. Planted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. So Esau isn't a happy camper. He got rid of his birthright for a bunch of pottage, for food, and now that rascal, my brother, went and took my blessing. Now you can't imagine him being too happy a person, and I would guess with his bow and arrow, he's ready to do something. So now, and therefore, keeping in mind, if I can, for he hath supplanted me, etc., taken my birthright and my blessing. And he said, hath thou not reserved, the end of verse 36, a blessing for me? In other words, can't you give me something? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him my lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, etc., etc. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou, verse 38, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. He wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. In other words, you're going to have a wonderful earthly existence, and of the dew of heaven from above. In other words, you're going to live in the field, and etc. Verse 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live. Thou shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion. Remember Edom. When thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at a hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to do it. Now, having said that, over to Malachi. And in Malachi, chapter 1, you recall, the last book in your Old Testament, and you remember what God says. He never says it until then. And in Malachi, verse 1, the burden of the Lord to Israel of Malachi, by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Remember, Malachi, it's a bad time. Israel's not doing very good. I have loved you, saith the Lord, verse 2. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, verse 3, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. I loved Jacob. I hated Esau. I hated him. He would not believe. That's why I let all of it happen. He lost his birthright and his blessing. He was not to have it. He was not to have it. It looked like he was first, but, illustration. Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3. Adam and Eve. Out of Adam and Eve, all humanity comes. That's why when Christ dies on the cross, he dies for all humanity at once. He can't die for two or three people because all of us are from here. So when he dies for Adam, he dies for everyone in Adam. That's you and me and us. And he dies for us. Now, in Adam, he's the firstborn. But in 1 Corinthians 15, you have to turn there. Adam was firstborn, but the last Adam, Christ, takes over. Esau was firstborn, but it's Jacob. Adam was firstborn, but the last Adam, Christ, is the blessing. Got it? Hebrews 12. You have to quit Hebrews 12. You'll probably just get there and we'll have to stop. But I hope you get a little bit. I think it's interesting because you understand what he's going to bless. What is he blessing? What a mess. No, God knows what he's doing, to say the least. Hebrews chapter 12. Picking up, please, in directly. If I can, in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and wherein thereby many be defiled. In other words, you get all upset and mad and talk about stuff, and you upset everybody else and feed out a lot of garbage. That's what people do. They're upset with the church. They're upset with this. And they feed it out, defile. Now, point 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau was, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was terribly, terribly upset, but not upset enough to change. Not upset enough to fix it. His heart. He never fixed his heart. He died in his sins. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Isaac, interesting list.